going to ask you this morning to turn with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture. And we're going to read a story from the Word of the Lord this morning that no doubt you have heard. But the Spirit of the Lord has placed on my heart these verses, and I think the Lord has something for us here this morning. If you would turn with me over to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read beginning with that first verse. So 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. Amen, amen. I ask a favor, y'all keep an eye on Pastor Dean over here. If he wanted those cashews back there on the table, I don't want him to get distracted in the midst of the sermon. So just y'all keep a sharp eye on him for a little bit, and I'll promise to hurry, brother. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1, and listen to how this story unfolds this morning. Verse 1 says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha." This is a pastor's wife. This is a minister's wife. This is a wife of one of the sons of the prophets. "And she cried unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." You know that my husband was a good man, and that my husband feared the Lord, and that he served the Lord, and now he has passed. "And she said, And the creditors are come to take unto them my two sons to be bondmen." She owed a debt, and now the creditors had come for payment. And she did not have the payment. She couldn't pay the debt. And so under the old Mosaic law, the creditor had every right to take her sons to be slaves, if you will, or to be workers until the debt was paid off. So she comes to Elisha the prophet, and she said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that my husband feared the Lord and that he served the Lord. And the creditor has now come. I don't have anything, but the creditor has now come to take my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in thine house. And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." I don't have anything. Let me just point out something to you here for a moment. The prophet said, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me what you have in your house." Well, now, how many of you know that the prophet could have just said, "In the name of the Lord, let the need be met," and God would have met the need. But God and the prophet both wanted her to participate in her miracle. Hello? What do you have in your house? What can you do? And then watch God do what you cannot do. Hello? She says, "I don't have anything except a small pot of oil." And here's what the man of God told her. He said, "Here's what I want you to do." Verse 3. He said, "Go and borrow vessels. Go abroad to all of your neighbors and borrow empty vessels." And then he said, "And borrow not a few." I like that. And he said, and when thou art come, when you're come into the house, after you have got the vessels borrowed, and you have gone to your neighbors, and you have collected a bunch of empty vessels, not just a few of them, he said, when you're come into your house, shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and pour out into all of those vessels. In other words, take what little oil that you have and fill those empty vessels. And he said, and thou shalt pour into all of those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And the story fast forward. So she went from him. She went from the man of God, and she shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought her the empty vessels, and she poured out the oil. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and she told the man of God all of these things. Now, think of that conversation. She shows up at Elisha and says, guess what happened? You told me to go and borrow empty vessels, and all I had was a little jug of oil in the house about that big. And you were right. I didn't borrow just a few, but I borrowed a bunch. And I started pouring oil into empty vessels and setting the full vessels aside. And the oil just kept coming. And I filled up another vessel, and the oil just kept coming. And I set that one aside, and that one aside, and another one aside. And finally I said to my son, bring me yet another vessel. Hey, bring me another one. This thing ain't done. And she said, and when the last vessel had been filled, how many of you know God doesn't want any empty vessels? When the last vessel had been filled, the oil stayed. And Elisha says to her, go and sell the oil and pay the debt that you owe. And then you and your children live on what's left. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When God does something, he does it right. He does it right. Can you say amen? I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I just want to ask you to bow your heads. And we're going to pray and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing in ministering the word this morning. Father God, we are thankful to be able to gather in your presence. We are thankful, Almighty God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace toward us. We have sensed your presence as we have worshiped you in this house. We have sensed your presence as we have honored you with our praise and with our thanksgiving. And Lord, we now come to the reading of the word of the living God. And Father, I would ask that you would anoint me to be an instrument and a vessel that you could use to speak as an instrument in the house of the Lord. I would ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would let the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon my heart. Put your words in my mind, your words in my mouth. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would let the word of the Lord come forth with clarity, with simplicity, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will destroy every yoke. Let Christ Jesus be exalted. Let the people of God be edified. And we will forever give you the praise and forever give you the thanks. And we ask it in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. I want to title the message this morning, A House of empty vessels. A house of empty vessels. As I was studying for this word this morning and preparing to preach, I happened to be reminded of a story that I heard Dr. James Dodson speak one time. It's a true story. It's a story of a little toddler that he said one day pulled his chair over to the front room, living room window in his house, and he carefully placed it behind the drapes, and then he crawled up in the chair and was looking out at the outside world. His mother, the little guy, is standing there staring out the window, and his mother comes looking for him. And when mom came into the room, she saw the chair behind the drapes and saw him standing back behind the drapes. And she thought to herself, what in the world is he up to? And so she quietly slipped over behind him to see if she could find out what it was that he was up to. And she got there just in time to hear him say, I have got to get out of here. He felt trapped, looking out the window at the beautiful world and all the things that he could get into. Have you ever this morning felt trapped in a situation or a circumstance? Have you ever felt like you were trapped in a situation or a circumstance that you could not control? Have you ever this morning felt that you were in a spot where you were literally at the end of your rope and you didn't know what to do, amen, or what to do and what to reach for? A realist might say that we might as well give in to reality, because what will be, will be. A pessimist might say, you might as well let go of the rope. It's only going to get worse before it ever gets better. An optimist might say, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Anybody ever heard that expression? But in reality, the reality is that each one of us at some point in our lives have all come to the place where we are not certain what to do. Amen. We have all come to the place or the point, amen, of a certain situation that we feel like that we cannot control, and we feel trapped and we feel unsure of our next move. What do you do this morning when you are facing problems with your children that you cannot solve? What do you do this morning when your marriage seems like that it is on the rocks and you are overwhelmed and you have a sense or a feeling of hopelessness? What do you do this morning when there are problems at home and at work and you can't find any place in your life where you can find some peace and rest? What do you do this morning when there is too much month at the end of the money? Hello? Anybody ever been there? Amen. You're wondering how you're going to make ends meet. What do you do when you follow a loved one, amen, a loved one's body to the graveyard and you can't escape that loneliness and the grief and the pain? What do you do when you find that your heart has been broken and your dreams have been shattered and your hopes have been dashed upon the cruel rocks of reality? What do you do when you feel like you're walking through a spiritual wasteland? Land. Trapped. Have you ever been there? We have all been there. Our text this morning tells of a poor widow woman who was at the end of her rope, trapped in a situation not of her making. Trapped in a problem, trapped in an unbearable circumstance, trapped in an unbearable situation, and she does not know what to do nor to whom to turn. So in her pain and in her poverty, she does the only thing that she could do, and she turned to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, when she turned to the Lord, God showed up big on her behalf. Amen. If you are in this house this morning and you are feeling drained, feeling spiritually overwhelmed, or you are feeling overwhelmed by the events of life, let me just tell you that God wants to take and fill your empty vessel until every crevice and every crack and every cranny is full and running over with the Spirit of the living God. If you're here in this house and you are feeling like you are wondering through a spiritual wasteland, God wants to take your empty vessel and fill it until it is running over with the joy of the Lord and the peace of God and the blessing of God that caused you to walk out of the house of the Lord rejoicing over what God has done. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to fill our spirit with His Holy Spirit. This picture that I desire to paint for you this morning of this little woman in the theater of your mind, walk a mile in her shoes. In the theater of your mind this morning, put yourself in her shoes. Picture what she must have felt like. She is without her husband. Not only was she broke, but her heart had been broken. Her finances had vanished. She had no bread, and she had no breadwinner. She had no employment, and she had no opportunity. How many of you know if there's at least an opportunity, you have a little bit of hope? She had no employment and no opportunity of employment. The only thing that she has at this moment in her life is a broken heart that had been crushed by the circumstances of life. The only thing that she has is a mountain of debt that she cannot pay and a group of heartless, ruthless creditors that were about to rip her sons from her household and leave her with nothing. Talk about destitute. Talk about down and out. Where this incident takes place is not clear from the scripture. But what is clear is it most likely took place in one of the cities where the sons of the prophets dwelt. Perhaps it was Bethel. Perhaps it was Gilgal. Perhaps it was Jericho. Josephus, the first century historian, tells us that the man that had died was Obadiah. So this woman would have been the wife of Obadiah. Well, who is Obadiah? You can read about Obadiah in 1 Kings chapter 18. Obadiah was a man of God. Obadiah was one of the sons of the prophets. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18 that when Ahab and Jezebel decided that they were going to destroy the prophets of God, that Obadiah hid 100 men and fed them in a cave so that they would not be found by a wicked king and a wicked queen who was hell-bent to kill them. Obadiah, this is his wife, a man of God who did the right thing, and now she's in a terrible spot. You will read about Obadiah in 1 Kings chapter 18. I thought as I was putting this together, in fact, the debt that she owed could have very possibly been the food bill for 100 men of God that had been hidden away. How many of you know preachers can eat? Oh. Well, here's 100 of them she hid away, or he hid away. And it could very well be the food bill. Amen. It could very well, that debt that she had to pay off, it very well could have been the food bill that Obadiah racked up at the grocery store, feeding all of the men of God. Here she is with nothing. I want to look this morning at her situation. She is faced with the loss of her husband. How many of you know that in itself could be devastating? She's faced with the loss of her husband. He was not only a good, it's always terrible when a good man or a good woman dies, but this was not just a good man, this was her man. Hello? I said this wasn't just a good man, this was her man. Let me just tell you something real quick here this morning. It's easy sometimes for us to see someone that's going through something and for us to have faith with them and for them. Amen. But it's a whole nother ball game when the situation comes knocking at our door. This wasn't just a good man. Amen. This was her man. And now trouble had come to her door. There's always a significant difference when the trouble comes knocking at our own door. It's one thing to watch someone else struggle, but it's a whole different situation when it becomes our struggle. Amen. It's easy to have faith when everything is going well in our lives. We may see others struggling and we're hanging on to our faith, but wait till, amen, wait till the wolf comes knocking at our door. Wait till trouble comes knocking at our door. Amen. And then we'll find out if we're walking by faith or walking by sight. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. This was the man that she had committed herself to. Years, they were friends and they were lovers. No doubt they had shared years together. No doubt that there was a bond of love between them. No doubt that they had shared many of life's experiences together. Never again would she look into his face and hear him say, "I love you." Never again would she see his smiling face across the dinner table. Never again would he hold her in his arms. Amen. He was gone and she is brokenhearted. And she is faced with the loss of the man that she loves. Secondly, she is faced with loneliness. I wonder how many sleepless nights she must have spent tossing and turning in bed because he was no longer there. How many of you know loneliness can be a very powerful emotion? Amen. I will just tell you right now, I spent about 20 years on the evangelistic field, and I can tell you from personal experience that you can be right smack dab in the middle of a crowd and be away from your family and be lonely in your heart. Hello? Somebody said, I don't quite understand that. Well, just try it sometime. Separate yourself from those that you love, and you'll find out exactly what I'm talking about. Hello? She was separated from the one that she loved. And there is this loneliness and this gnawing agony in her spirit. Amen. I couldn't help but think how many nights that she must have tossed and turned. How many nights she must have rolled and tumbled and couldn't get a good night's sleep because she is dealing with the emotion of loneliness. And to top it all off, she's faced with a bill that she cannot pay. I don't know how many of you have ever faced a mountain of debt that you could not pay this morning, but I wonder how many times she must have said to herself, "Oh God, what in the world am I going to do?" Wringing her hands, knowing that the creditors could come at any day and take her son. Not a very pretty picture, is it? What in the world am I going to do? Like worrying about a pump in the bottom of a well. Hello? What in the world am I going to do? What in the world am I going to do? I've got a situation that I can't control. I've got a circumstance that I am powerless to do anything in. What will I do? Some of you sitting right here this morning are in that very situation right now. What in the world am I going to do? She's faced with a lack of employment. She's faced with a lack of honor opportunity. Not only is she broke, amen, with a huge debt hanging over her head, but she don't even have a job. Maybe if she had a job, she could at least make payments on the debt. She don't even have employment. She's faced with the possibility of losing the only thing left that she loves. She's lonely, she's broke, she's in debt, she's unemployed, the creditors have no compassion, amen, and nothing she can do about the situation. She is trapped in the circumstance, even a circumstance that she did not even create herself. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, let me just first tell you what she didn't do. Let me first tell you what she did not do. I like her attitude because, number one, she didn't give up. Do you know how easy it is sometimes for life to just roll right over the top of us and we just give up? Hello? Well, she didn't give up. She may have been down and she may have suffered loss. She may have been faced with insurmountable odds, but I like her spirit. She wasn't going down without a fight. Beloved, I don't know what you may be facing this morning, and I don't know what kind of circumstances have come to challenge your life, but I came to tell you this morning, number one, do not give up. Amen. Don't throw up the flag of surrender. Amen. Keep your hand in the hand of God and keep your faith in the Almighty, and no matter what he drags you through, brother, he'll bring you through on the other side with victory in your life if you'll just continue to hang on. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes we give up awful easy. Sometimes we give up just about the time God is fixing to fix it for us. Hello? I just wonder this morning how many times we have given up and victory was right around the corner. I wonder how many times we have given up way too soon and victory was right around the corner. Hello? Amen. What I came to tell you this morning, this little woman, the first thing that she did, amen, was she did not give up. She did not throw in the white flag. She didn't throw in the towel. She said, I know who I belong to, and I know who holds my hand, and I've got my trust in the Lord, and I know that my God is able to see me through. No matter what I come up against, I may be in a hard situation, but I know my God is faithful. Psalms chapter 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hey, you may find some dark hours, amen, where you are weeping tears of bitterness, but I came to encourage you, continue to hold on to the hand of God. Continue to hold on to the Almighty. And brother, when the sun comes up in the morning, you'll be singing a victory song with joy in your heart and victory on your side. Hallelujah. How do you know that, Pastor Gary? I've been there. I've done that. Hello? I've been there. I've done that. Has it always been a bed of roses? I tell you right now, it hadn't. Has it always been easy? I'll tell you right now, it hasn't. Amen. Has it always been, amen, a smooth path? I'll tell you right now, it hasn't. But let me tell you what it has been. Amen. I've never been alone. I've never been forsaken. I've always had a friend that stuck closer than a brother. I've always had the Lord right at my side. I've always felt the tender hand of the Lord. Said, son, you might have to walk a mile in the darkness, but oh, joy will come in the morning if you'll just remain faithful. I will see you through. Hallelujah. She didn't give up. The second thing that she did not do is she did not play the blame game. Hello? She did not play the blame game. None of this is my fault. I didn't ask for any of this mess. She didn't blame her husband. If he had just been a little more mindful of the future, I wouldn't be in this situation. Nope, she didn't play the blame game. She didn't look at others. If they would have just done this, this would have never happened. If they would have just done that. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation and our first reaction is we want to find someone to blame. It couldn't be our fault. Hello? It couldn't be any of the choices I made. Really? Well, let me just tell you, the blame game never fixes anything. She didn't go around blaming someone else for her situation. She did not go around with the finger out. It's their fault, or it's his fault, or it's her fault. Amen. And number two, she didn't blame God. How often we find ourselves in a situation and we turn around and start blaming God. I'm preaching good now, and y'all are just kind of going like that. I think you could be right. Hello? Hello? She didn't blame God. You know, sometimes when we hit hard time, our first reaction is, well, if God loved me, he wouldn't let me go through stuff like this. It must be God's fault. Hello? Well, let me just tell you, she didn't blame God. Playing the blame game never resolves any situation. The only thing that will bring resolve to our circumstances and our situations is having the kind of attitude that, all right, I may be here, but where do we go from here? Oh, Lord, my hand is in your hand, and you are mine, and I'm yours. And no matter what you bring me through, I believe that all things work together for my good, because my hand is in your hand. Hallelujah. She didn't give up. She didn't play the blame game, and she didn't divorce herself from her faith. She didn't turn and walk away from God. Oftentimes people hit hard times. They come to the Lord readily. They accept the Lord, and then they endure hardness, and they turn around and walk away from the Lord. Let me just tell you this morning, we are all going to encounter some trials and tribulations along the way in this life. And I'll tell you what we ought not to do. We ought not to divorce ourselves from our faith. She did not turn from God, but her problem caused her to turn to God. I have found in my lifetime that that's exactly what tribulation will do. It'll do one of two things. It will either turn you to God or turn you from God. She did not divorce herself from her faith. Amen. She says to herself, I know that God has his hand upon me. And the Bible says in her brokenness, in her loneliness, in her busted spirit, in her broken heart, and in her situation, she turns to the Lord. She turns unto God and she cries out to the Lord. She cries out to the man of God. This is what she did do. Amen. She turns to the Lord and she cries unto the Lord. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 15, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ear is open unto their cry. The Bible said in 34 verse 17, it said the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Verse 19 said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. She didn't have the answer, but she knew who did. She didn't have the answer to fix her problem, but she knew who did have the answer. And she turns to the Lord and she cries out unto the Lord. She prays, she seeks God. Lord, you hear where, you see where I am. You hear the threats of the creditors. You know I've lost my husband. I don't have any way to pay the debt, and I don't have anything I can do about it. And her expectation was in the Lord. Her expectation was in the Lord. I came to tell somebody this morning that our help comes from the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. Look unto the Lord this morning. He knows where you are. He knows what situation you are in. He knows what you are struggling with. Amen. Look unto the Lord with an expectation that God will minister to your need. You are not alone. You don't have to go through this alone. Amen. God is on your side. She has an expectation. In her heart, she says to herself, I belong to the Lord, and the Lord belongs to me. I know that my God is merciful, and I know that my God is faithful, and I know that my God is able to do all that I ask him to do. I know that my God, she has an obedience. She goes to the man of God in her brokenness. She goes to the man of God in her trapped situation. And she looks at Elisha and says, you know my husband. Thy servant, my husband. You know the one that served in the house of the Lord. The preacher, Obadiah, the one that hid over 100 men of God. The one that racked up a food bill, feeding all the men of God. He's died. And now I owe my soul to the company store. Boy, I'm dating myself. Some of you don't even know what that means. I owe my soul. I have a debt that I can't pay. The man of God looks at her. And oftentimes, listen, oftentimes God could just simply speak into our situation and say, peace, be still. And everything is fixed. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He don't always do that. He does not always do that. You know why? Because he wants to walk out our miracle by faith. He wants he'll meet our need, but he wants us to take a step of faith in order to have the need met. Hello? So here's what the man of God says to her by the inspiration of the Lord. He says, what do you have in your house? She said, I don't have anything but a little pot of oil. I don't have anything but, you mean you don't have a safety deposit box tucked away under the floor? Nope. You don't have a cash deposit box? No. You don't have anything but a pot of oil. And he said, I got the answer. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a step of faith. And I want you to go to your neighbors. And I want you to borrow from your neighbors all of the empty vessels that you can get your hands on. And then I want you to get in your house with your two sons. Shut the door. Get that bottle of oil. And I want you to start pouring out of that bottle. Now, if I were her, I would say to myself, well, that shouldn't take too many jugs. like maybe one. Don't you know the devil had a heyday with her mind? She turns away from the man of God. Go borrow vessels from your neighbor and borrow not a few. And she goes away from the man of God, and no doubt immediately the enemy just bombarded her mind. You are going to look like a fool. You mean to tell me you're going to go to the Joneses' house, knock on the door, and ask for all of the empty vessels? Well, what do you need them for? Well, I've got this little jar of oil, and I'm going to pour oil in all of the vessels. Do you know the enemy will try to mock us every step of the way? Every step of the way. Every step of the way. I've shared this testimony with many of you, but many years ago I was preaching a revival in Red Bluff, California. And there was a woman there that was up in years, in her 70s. Her name was Floyd Jackson. She lived with her daughter. She lived with her daughter, Joyce. And Flo Jackson was in the service, the revival service that I preached that night. She was in the revival service, and she went home, and she talked to her son in Missouri. And when she hung up the phone, she had a massive heart attack, slumped over in her chair and died. Her daughter was there. Joyce was right there. Joyce called 911, and the paramedics showed up from St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Red Bluff, California. And when the paramedics showed up, they tried to revive Floyd Jackson, doing mouth-to-mouth and resuscitating and trying, and they could not find a heartbeat. They could not find a pulse, and they put her in the ambulance, got her on life support, and took her to St. Elizabeth's Hospital. They got her to the hospital, and the paramedics had told the daughter while they were working on her, don't get your hopes up. It took us nearly 11 minutes to get here. If she ever comes out of it, she'll be a vegetable because her brain has been without oxygen for too long. They put Floyd Jackson in St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Red Bluff, California. And for 3 days, she lay there. And finally, the hospital administration told the family, you're going to have to make a decision to either move her or take her off of life support. The daughter and one of the brothers said, just give us a couple of more days. My brother from Missouri is on his way out. And the revival continued, and I was preaching every night and praying every afternoon. And about the fourth day after that, they had been given the ultimatum. The family had been given the ultimatum. The fourth day, I was walking back and forth in the church and praying that morning and that afternoon and getting ready for the service that night. And the Lord laid a message upon my heart that I titled, Is There Anything Too Hard for God? And the Lord spoke to me that afternoon while I was walking back and forth in the church. And he said, tonight, after you get through preaching the message that I put in your heart, I want you to take your handkerchief and anoint it with oil and ask the people that will believe God for a miracle for Floyd Jackson to come up. And I want you to lay hands on it, and I want you to send it to her. And God said these words to me, and I will raise her up. And in my carnal mind, I said, but God, they have declared her clinically dead. And I know you did, but I don't know if you will. Hello? And immediately the enemy said to me, you anoint that handkerchief tonight, you are going to look like a fool. Hello? Well, think of how this woman must have felt. You go around borrowing all these vessels, you're going to look like a moron. God may have done something, but that don't mean God's going to do something like that for you. Hello? Amen. That night I preached, and the anointing of the Lord was so wonderful. And I told the people, I said, this is what the Lord spoke to my heart this afternoon. And if you will believe me for a miracle for Floyd Jackson, then I want to invite you to come up and lay hands on this handkerchief. And we're going to send it to the hospital. And we're going to believe God for a miracle. And if you don't believe it, please don't come. And some of them came and some of them didn't come. We sent that handkerchief that same night by the hand of pastor's wife, Susan Cox. Susan Cox and another pastor's wife, Kay Kincaid, they took that handkerchief to the hospital, pinned it upon Floyd Jackson's hospital gown. She's on life support. She's had tests done, and they said there is no brain activity. She is clinically dead, gone. And the pastor's wife, Susan Cox and Kay Kincaid, came back to the parsonage after that they had pinned it up. We were over at the parsonage having some refreshments after the service. And Sister Cox said, well, the nurses looked at us like we were half crazy. I said, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, poor Pentecostal folk. We got somebody dead in the bed, and they're going to do a little something with a hanky and some oil. Hello? But I will tell you something. It wasn't a hanky, and it wasn't the oil. It was the power of God. So what happened, Pastor Gary? The next day, Floyd Jackson started breathing all by herself. And the doctor said, don't get your hopes up. If she ever comes to out of the coma, if she ever comes to, she won't know anybody. Her heart started beating on its own. And the doctors were amazed. Make a long story short, by 2:00 in the afternoon, she was sitting up in the bed eating Jell-O. And one of the sisters from the church came in to see her. And her daughter said, Mama, you know who that is? And she said, well, of course I know who that is. That's Sister Brown. And her and I have been going to church since 1963. And you know what God did? He gave her another 15 years to her life. But I'm going to tell you what. The enemy fought it all the way. I'm here to tell you this morning, the enemy will mock your faith, but keep your faith in God and keep your hand in the hand of God, and God will see you through. If I ran, I would run. But I don't run. I mosey. Amen. Like David said, I feel like I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. That was David. I don't know if I could make it over the wall, but... Hey, what I'm saying is, just think of the mocking that the enemy must have put at this woman because she started going and borrowing vessels from all of the neighbors. And she gets in the house after borrowing all of the vessels. She's obedient to the man of God. She exercises her faith. She gets in the house. And she takes her little bottle of oil. And she starts filling up vessel number one. And when she got through, there was oil left. And so she fills vessel number two. And when she got through, there was oil left. And so she fills vessel number three. And when she got through, there was oil left. I'd have had myself a Pentecostal spell right then. Hello? And she kept pouring oil and 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 just kept pouring oil until finally she said, bring me yet another vessel. And her son said, we ain't got no more vessels. We don't even have another empty in the house. And the oil stayed. God exactly met her expectation. Let me just share something with you. God filled exactly her expectation. If she'd have had another vessel in the house, the oil would have kept on going. If she'd have had another vessel in the house, she could have just kept on pouring. I have often said she might still be there today pouring oil if she'd have had enough vessels in the house. Because God will always meet our expectation. Hello? Some people say, well, I'm not expecting much. You ain't going to get much. You're going to get exactly what you're expecting. Hello? But if you have faith in God to believe, God to do the impossible, and God to do, amen, the incredible, because we serve a God that is not limited with possibilities, and we serve a God this morning, amen, that's not limited by the hand of man, and we serve a God this morning that is able to do exceeding and abundant above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. And if it is the power of faith, then nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hallelujah. God filled her expectation. God heard her cry. God filled her emptiness. God provided abundance in her necessity. Every last vessel was filled. He stopped the flow of oil only when the need had been met. Let me just tell you something this morning. If you've been praying for those kids to get saved or those grandkids to get saved and they're not saved yet, it just means that God ain't done yet. Keep right on praying. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been trusting God for deliverance and you haven't been delivered yet. It just means that God ain't done yet. Just keep right on trusting in the hand of the Lord, and when God gets done, the need will be met. Hallelujah. There is no lack or want in him. When he does something, he does it right. When he does something, he does it right. He took this little impoverished widow and made her the CEO of an oil company. Hallelujah. He took this little broken-hearted, impoverished widow and made her the CEO of her own oil company. She gets through pouring all the oil. Lord, would you look at that? She is shouting glory. She goes to the man of God. She says, you ain't gonna believe what happened. That's a loose white translation, just my own interpretation. You are not going to believe what happened. I got all of these vessels in the house, and I started pouring oil, and oil just kept coming. Let me just tell you, if God can multiply bread and fish, he can multiply oil. Hello? He can multiply your finances. He can multiply your spiritual blessings in your life. He can multiply. He is a multiplier. She goes to the man of God, says, this is what happened. The oil just kept coming, and the oil kept coming, and the oil kept coming. And Elisha says to her, go and sell the oil. You don't need all that sitting around in your house going rancid. Go and sell the oil, pay the debt. And there's going to be so much of it that you and your sons are not only going to pay the debt off, but you're going to live of it after the fact. Amen. I came to tell somebody this morning, if you have an empty vessel, a spiritual empty vessel, God wants to fill it. If you have a material need, God wants to fill it. If you have an emotional need, God wants to fill it. If you have a spiritual need, amen, God wants to fill it. God wants to fill you to full and overflowing. The Bible said that at his right hand, there are joys and pleasures forevermore. He wants you to be full and running over. The psalmist said that the joy of the Lord, amen, will fill our heart to the point that it will follow us. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. God does not want any of us to be in lack. God does not want any of us to be in lack. Jeremiah, I'm going to close with it. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 17 says these words, "Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Now, I'm going to tell you what, there are some days, frequently, that I run up against some things that are just over my head. They're too hard for me. But the prophet is saying, "Oh, Lord God, you are awesome. You are high. You are lifted up. Behold, you have made the heavens and the earth with your outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for you." And I came to tell you this morning that in your limits, in your limitation, God has an abundant supply. In your lack, God has more than enough. What do we need to do? Well, we've talked about some things that we don't need to do. We shouldn't divorce ourselves from our faith. We shouldn't give up. What should we do? We should call upon the name of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Know that our God is a merciful God who said that we can bring all of our cares to him because he cares for us. And we can obey the word of the Lord. And when we obey the word of the Lord, we are literally walking out our own deliverance. Will we be mocked along the way? I have no doubt about it. Because the devil doesn't want you to, amen, enjoy the blessings of God. But in the end, if we will be faithful to keep our hand in the hand of the Lord, our eye upon our Savior, he will give us the victory. Bow your heads in the house of the Lord, please. We used to sing a chorus when I was growing up in church. He will fill your heart to overflowing as the Lord commendeth you. Amen. He will fill your heart today with overflowing. I want you to know something this morning. There is enough for your need in our God. And he will fill your heart today to overflowing. He will fill your vessel today with overflowing. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, you are mighty and you are awesome and you are good. Father, we come before you this morning, a house of empty vessels, desiring to be filled. You said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Lord, we are hungry today for an infilling of your precious Holy Spirit. Every heart that's here in this house this morning, Lord, you see the empty vessels. You see the emptiness of our hearts. And Lord, we come unto you and ask you to fill us. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with the peace of God that passes all understanding. Fill us with anointing and faith that will cause us to rise above our uncertainties and our doubts and our unbeliefs. Every broken heart, I ask you to mend. Every discouraged spirit, I ask you to lift. Every sick and afflicted body, I ask you, oh God, to heal. Oh, amen, amen, I feel that. Every need, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet this morning all over the building. I want you just to slip up your hands as if you are an open vessel. Just slip up your hands as if you are opening the vessel for him to pour into. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I ask that you do what only you can do. From heaven to earth, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, let your precious anointing flow through their life. Let them feel it as if it is filling them up from their feet, their ankles, their knee, their waist, their chest. Let it just begin to rise in their heart. Let it begin to rise in their spirit. Oh, in Jesus' mighty name, let the anointing of our God destroy every yoke of bondage. Every trapped soul be free. In Jesus' mighty name. Fill every empty vessel, I pray, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead.